John Rosen, the LA Kings insider, joins us once again. John, how you doing, my man?
Not too bad, not too bad. Game two of a three-game swing. Got an off day in Vancouver tomorrow, so not a bad place to spend New Year's. So everything all right on this end.
Now, looking at the LA Kings, I guess the main struggle still is scoring goals for this team.
No, you know, their offense has been picking it up a little bit recently. Their power play has been red hot before they were stopped last night and were 0-for-2 with a man advantage. They were had 10 power play goals over their previous five games, and Andrei Kopitar was on the ice for 9 of those. You know, the stacking of Kopitar alongside Gavrik and Carter has provided some pretty good dividends for this Kings team offensively. Right now, it's been their play on the road, the special teams on the road, where they're scoring a lot of goals and giving up a lot of goals as well. This is a team that has always relied on standout goaltending, on possessing the puck, checking well as well when they don't have the puck. They've been doing that for most stretches of the game, long stretches, but like last night, where you saw just a couple of minutes get away from them in the first period against Calgary, an otherwise very sturdy 58-minute effort went all for naught just because of two poor shifts in the first period.
That was funny. I was looking at the Kings' road record. Only the Oilers have fewer road wins in the Western Conference than the LA Kings. Now, granted, five times they've gone to overtime or a shootout and lost on the road. So do you see a noticeable difference at all in their play on the road compared to at home?
Yeah, I think it's mostly just in special teams. Jonathan Quick has been much better at Staples Center this season. Their power play, their penalty killing, there have been top 10 units back at home and have been bottom 10 units out on the road this season. It's something that I think over the long run will eventually kind of even itself out, and they'll both will work back towards the medium. But I look at the numbers, and I don't want to rely too much on the analytics because that's only a part of the game. But the Kings have been dominating puck possession over the last month or so. It hasn't really led to, a surplus of wins. You kind of expect them to kind of go on a little bit of a run here. And then you have games like last night where they just give up goals in a couple bunches. And again against Calgary last week when the Flames erased a 3-goal deficit to come from behind and win in overtime. We saw it in St. Louis as well. It's just minor lapses for a shift or two that have been hurting this team. I don't think it's really a fundamental issue with this team that needs to be changed. It's just kind of a footnote at this point of the season. But they're just looking for the more consistency. You start hearing things like playing 60 minutes, other cliches like needing to bear down, things like that. But overall, the puck possession, the attack has been fine. They're getting pucks deep. They're moving the puck up the ice quickly. They've been defending well when they don't have the puck. Goaltending has come back down a little bit back to earth after it was so strong through the first 2 months of the season. But overall, I do believe this is a team trending upwards.
Jonathan Quick, is he playing tonight?
It looks like we're probably going to get Martin Jones.
You know, okay.
The Kings don't have a policy in which they don't announce starters in advance. And the only two people who were there at the morning skate this morning, in addition to Billy Ranford, were Marian Gaborik, who had a touch of the stomach flu but should be good to go tonight, and Martin Jones, who faced quite a few shots. I'm about to post on LA Kings Insider tonight's projections for starting goaltenders, starting lines, or lineups, and I will project Martin Jones, who had a shutout in his last visit, in the Kings' last visit to Rexall Place end of last season, to be tonight's starter.
Now, what about on the Marian Gaborik front? I had the flu last night. You think he's back in?
Yeah, it looks like he'll be back in. You know, there was an interesting comment from Daryl Sutter, who didn't really feel that maybe there shouldn't have been a scratch last night. Jeff Carter played, and Daryl was very complimentary of his play. Jeff played with, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this word on the radio, but I put it on my blog, so I'm not going to censor myself here. Jeff played with balls and gutted it out. He was sick all night, gave us what he got. And when speaking about Marian Gaborik, he said, well, obviously Gaborik couldn't play yesterday. That was his decision, so I'll make the decision today, which is a little bit harsher of words there.
Huh.
And I hope I didn't just get TSN 1260 fined for any indecent conversation.
No, Majot said much worse on a day on a day-by-day basis, for sure. Looking at, so Gaborik, the coach obviously feels that maybe he didn't, gut it out as much as he should have with his other teammates. You talk about that reemergence because Anze Kopitar was off to a slow start, and then a few weeks ago he was named, the first star of the week and was dominant for him. And, the LA Kings, the last few years, a lot of people think, well, the Kings, they kind of sleepwalk through the regular season offensively, and then they turn it up in the playoffs. I know it's not that simple, but that has been a little bit of what's happened the 2 years that they won the Stanley Cup. But have you talked to the players? Has there been more of a concerted effort for this team to be more offensive? Or are they just kind of happy how they play and they believe that when the games get tougher, they suddenly get better?
You know, I don't think it's anything that they're satisfied with, and I don't think you can just flip on a switch. I think when you talk to Dustin Brown, and I think Brown's emotion and the way that he carries himself as a team captain is kind of a bit of a conduit of the emotion of the team throughout the entire team. And when you ask him that question, he'll say it's just so difficult for this Kings team to play the way that they do over a full 82 game. And, of course, you look at teams like Anaheim. Anaheim doesn't have a style of play that's too dissimilar from the Kings. It's another team that gets up the ice quickly, that forechecks well as well when they don't have the puck. And, and a team that does have size like the Kings have. And Anaheim has won a couple of Pacific Division titles. You know, I just don't think that it's a team that, puts as much stock, not to say that Anaheim does, but doesn't put any real stock in where exactly they finish in the Pacific Division as long as they get into the playoffs. And that being said, once they're in, they're able to, hit that proverbial reset button and move on quite a bit. But with the leadership on this team, and it's something in the defensive structure that was started under Terry Murray and then really solidified under Daryl Sutter, and the pace of the play that quickened, I think it's a team that just has a style of play that leads itself well to five-on-five play and to play in the playoffs, where they've found so much success over the last 3 years.
They have found a lot of it. Tyler Toffoli and Pearson were red hot early in the year while the 70s line was great. Everybody heard about them, and they really kind of tailed off. I know, Toffoli scores again last night. Is that just the ebb and flow of young players? Is Daryl Sutter talked about, trying to find that consistency factor with those two, and maybe specifically more Pearson?
Yeah, it's a lot of ebb and flow. The pace that they were on early in the season was unsustainable, when both players were shooting around 20%. It's something where in the end of the day, you still probably will see Pearson as a candidate for the Calder Trophy. But you look back at what they did through the first month of the season, the Kings needed them badly to do what they had done, especially with other key important figures such as, Andrei Kopitar, who was injured early in the season. Jake Muzzin missed the first 2 weeks of the season with an injury, and of course, with another, offense generator and all-around player in Slava Voynov, who was suspended indefinitely too. The Kings were kind of off to a slow start. Their possession game was off through the first couple of weeks of the season, though they were winning games. I think what they were able to do was really solidify, the team's attack and be able to allow for other players to be able to find their games, and that's really what's been happening recently. It hasn't quite led to consistent, increments of 2 points on virtually every night, but I think overall, their play hasn't slipped considerably, while other players' play has come back a little bit over the last couple of weeks. But judging from the eye test, from the from the numbers, the analytics, Tyler Toffoli had 14 shot attempts last night. He scored the Kings' only goal in Calgary. He was very good. I think their competition, their level of emotion, and forceful play has improved over the last several weeks. And I think that there are still some goals and good chances ahead for those two young players.
John Rosen, the LA Kings insider, joins us. Kings take tonight. One last one for you, John. Martin Jones. A lot of people, of course, in Edmonton, Oilers need a goaltender. Do the Kings have another young guy in the minors? Would that ever be somebody they'd look at moving? Are they pretty happy with Jones and likely keep him as the backup for the next year or two?
I haven't heard, but I can speculate. There is a good young goaltender that has been a starter at AHL Manchester for the last two seasons. His name is J.F. Berube. And he, was a pretty good goaltender with Montreal Juniors back when that team was around in the queue. But he has been very good. He's been steady, and it looks like there will be eventually a career for him as a chance to earn some playing time and some starts in the NHL eventually. I don't know if that time is yet, but obviously when you look at Jonathan Quick and what he means to this team and the 10-year contract that he signed that kicked in last season. There's really not a lot of places for Martin Jones to really rise up within this team. I don't think he thinks about it too much. He's somebody that's very calm, cool, and collected. He's still trying to solidify his own role and his own place in the National Hockey League right now at this point. If he does go tonight, what Oilers fans will see is somebody that is, again, very composed, doesn't really sweat, always in position. He's a tall, lanky goaltender, 6'3", almost 6'4", so he covers a lot of the net too. But he's somebody that grew up in hockey rinks. His father was a vice president with the Vancouver Canucks, in their development and ran Rogers Arena for a long time. So I think, he's somebody that is mature, does know his place well, fits in very well with his team, and so far he's been a very good goaltender in his young career for this L.A. team. But it's probably just speculation at this point. I don't imagine the Kings will move Martin Jones at the deadline this year. He's somebody that will be a restricted free agent, too, coming up at the end of the season.
John, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the game. We'll see you at the rink.
My pleasure. Thanks so much. Take care.